Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I am so grateful to have Elizabeth Cermak with Your Highest Life here today with us. She is an amazing life coach that's been helping me the last 3 years and really has a unique background I want her to tell about and why she can be a great expert to help with birth professional burnout and just some tips to help with all the pandemic and lockdown and stress happening in our society right now.
Hi, Leslie. It's so nice to be here. So a little bit about my background. Before becoming a life coach, I've been doing life coaching for about 3 years. And before that, I was a psychotherapist. I still am a psychotherapist as well. So I have a lot of background in mental health, a lot of background helping people with anxiety and depression. And, you know, something that I have professional burnout is something that's near and dear to my heart as well, because it's something that I have also experienced personally.
Yeah, so it's amazing just to have your expertise and that nice balance. You've been part of healthcare, you've transitioned to where you can support people, you found more of that balance in your life's purpose. Because it is very similar with mental health, and maternity care has so many, they're the lower funded budgets of the health system. They need the most put in, and it's frustrating for the healthcare providers on the backdrop. So I think that's why you and I connected so well, because we could relate to so many frustrations we were having with today's society. And I'm like, okay, insurance reimbursement is crap. I'm working harder and harder, and I'm not giving as good a care, that quality. Why I become a midwife was getting lost. So yeah, I went down that dark path of midwifery burnout 3 years ago, and part of your guidance, the support, and the interventions I put into place for my life have drastically changed. I'd never be in this amazing opportunity and space that I'm in now, the things I've learned, the experiences I've had, and looking at it in a positive way. When you're going through it, it doesn't feel that way at all. So yes, I would love for you to talk about tips and suggestions, just your background, why burnout is happening and what we could do about it.
Yes. Oh, Leslie. So I always have so much to say when you give me so many ideas when you talk. So I definitely agree about how burnout can, it's hard to see it as a positive thing. Like you said, it does not feel positive. I feel like it's similar to trauma. You know, when we think of trauma, trauma is about being overwhelmed, feeling like we can't handle what's happening. And I mean, that's burnout. And so, and it goes along with trauma in that we can use it to transform us. So we can use it to be survivors, to be warriors, to, there is been research that shows that some people who go through trauma, they come out of it feeling actually stronger. Because think about it, it makes sense, because you've been through an experience that you have survived through, and if you have thrived through it, and you have probably made some changes in your own life because of it, hopefully that's what you do, and you become stronger. So that's what all this self-development is about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think why I wanted to have this topic with you, with the lockdown and the coronavirus, we're all having trauma. We're all having some sort of, and we're readjusting our life habits. Are we looking at it as direct accountability, poor me, this is happening? Or are we changing our businesses? Are we changing our outlook of life? What are we doing about these traumas that hit us every day, big and small, that we can handle? What resilience have we created in our lives to help with the highs and lows of those adrenaline and those frustrations? So yes, I'm very excited for you to kind of throw some ideas by people they could implement today, start thinking about long-term adjustments, anything just to help prevent burnout and when trauma happens.
Yes, absolutely. And so you're right. So we need to change. Like when you're feeling burnout or when you're feeling trauma, there's something that's a signal. Our body is telling us something. Something needs to change. So it's a wake-up call, right? And that's fine. That's a good thing. Like when we get to that point, because we realize we need to make changes. And so some of the things I always talk about, sometimes we don't know that we're in burnout until we're in it, right? So some of the signals, though, that it's happening, I feel like right up front, you know, when you start seeing yourself as a victim, I always talk about the metaphysical text, A Course of Miracles. And one of the sayings is, I am not a victim of the world I see. And so sometimes even a simple mindset shift, I am not a victim of the world I see, and changing that shift to be grateful for your job, grateful for your patients or your clients, being grateful that you have been given this opportunity to do this wonderful work. I think a lot of times with burnout, I think it has a lot, you know, so that it can, there can be multiple reasons why it happens. You mentioned like managed care. I feel like that's a huge reason. It's dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's that gets to us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we need to stop worrying so much about that stuff and really figure out why we got into this in the beginning. It's that connection with people. It's that need and desire to help people and connect and heal.
Well, I think 100%, like it used to be, and this is how my mind has shifted over the years, was, oh my gosh, something happened. I would complain. I would whine. I wouldn't hold direct accountability. And now I still do a little bit of that, but I research it. I learn about, okay, here's a problem. Here's an issue. There's always something I can do. If I'm frustrated with an option or a choice, and knowing boundaries like your work-life balance and knowing your inner you really helped a lot. I'm a lot better at saying no. I'm a lot better at self-care. Like there's so many things. And I'm not 100%. Nobody is. It's a lifelong journey. But I think just getting that mind shift where you're changing from this sucks, I don't like it, what am I going to do about it, versus this sucks, it's happening, I can't do anything about it. That's a huge mind shift, and you go down two complete different paths because of that mindset.
Yes. I mean, ask yourself how you feel after whining and complaining. And we all do it. I'm not saying I never do it, but I did. I made the choice too a long time ago. A Complaint-Free World is a book by Will Bowen. It's so good. And, you know, talks about how basically stop complaining. You know, if you can't, instead of complaining, do something about fixing the problem. So like, for instance, telling a waitress that your soup is cold, that you want to heat it up, that's not complaining. You're going to the waitress and you're telling her and she's going to fix it. But whining to your husband about how your soup is cold isn't going to change anything, right? So it's about, you're right. It's not, like I said, everybody complains from time to time, but it's about being more aware of that. And how do I feel? How do I feel after I vent and complain? Do I feel any better? Probably not. After
well,
a while.
So the same, yeah. Your soup's still cold versus you fix the problem.
Exactly. It's such a habit too. It's a bad habit. A lot of these things that we get in they're just bad habits. They're ways that we think, ways that we feel, things that we do, and they're all habits and we can change them. Like it's empowering to know these are choices. We don't realize that we have choices. I have a lot of clients who say to me that they don't trust their decisions. They have a problem trusting their decisions. And, you know, that's a choice to trust your decisions. You can tell yourself, I choose to trust my decisions. We think we are powerless when we really aren't.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's so much of that society, like me learning so much the last few years about psychology and this continuous learning has just fascinated because there were so many things I couldn't understand. And now that I know the backdrop and the instincts, like we're so much about a society and conforming. And if you're doing something that maybe, I mean, midwives or birth workers are good at that. We're already alternatives. We're already pushing the mainstream. So this is just one more step in our personality's desire. We have to go back to trusting ourselves. It doesn't matter what your neighbor's doing. It doesn't matter what the other birth practice is doing or what the hospital is doing. This is what's best for you in your situation in life and being accountable that yes, I'm doing a great job. I'm a great mom. I'm a great midwife. And not saying, well, compare, like, especially with social media, too many of us compare, well, my friend is amazing. You see the 5 minutes of the best part of her day. And then you start comparing yourself to unrealistic expectations. And that just, it is. It's that getting back to basics, realizing we're human. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. Mistakes are not a bad thing. They're an opportunity for us to learn and grow. And that takes time to get your mind to realize there's a lot of cultural things we're taught as we grow up that we have to evolve from.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We love those conversations. And you know, you're so right about the comparison. Do not compare. Comparison invites misery into your life. And, you know, a lot of times, so if you're like, I can relate to the burnout in the therapy business. I think that there's a lot of similarities, and we've talked about this, Leslie, between midwives and the therapists. So, you know, don't compare yourself how many patients or how many clients that other person has. I used to do that. And then I would realize I don't have the whole story. When I would talk more to the other person who maybe I was comparing myself to online, I would realize their story is completely different than mine. And that was okay. Like you have to know there is this push, more and more clients or more and more patients with managed care. And, you know, no, stop. What is your sweet spot? What works for you? It does not help to compare.
Well, and just a lot of these words like success and wealth and happiness, we talked about in other conversations, these vague words, each one of us makes a definition for, and it can be positive and negative. If you're saying success is you have 20 clients a month and everybody loves you, you're going to fail no matter what. Like, you have to have a realistic expectation and goal of these terms. Otherwise, you're already setting yourself up for failure. So I think it's really important to prevent burnout, to get a good foundation for your practice, and to know who you are and what you use these words as. Do you look at them negative? Do you have unrealistic? I mean, I used to be so much more of a perfectionist than I am now because it wasn't long-term sustainable. Like, you can't do everything perfect. And then I'd be negative and beating myself up with guilt and hurt because I wasn't that perfect image I'd set for myself. And so you have to restructure what you consider yourself as a good person, a good midwife, a good wife, mother, daughter, whatever identity you're giving yourself, and have more realistic expectations of the world that's around us.
Yes. I love what you said about that, about those terms. So define what success is to you. I mean, I had to do that when I first started my life coaching business. Man, I went to school, you know, with all these life coaches all over the world. And some of them, I could not compare myself. I was comparing myself to them, but you know, I had to define, I love defining making my own definition of success. Like, what is success for me? How many clients do I need to see a month, you know, in order to make a certain amount of money in order to survive? And like, what is that for me? And not compare myself to what that is for somebody else. That was a huge lesson.
Yeah. And that's what I spend a lot of time when we talk about like business consultation and we're making a business plan. We spend just as much time talking about the numbers, the accounting, the budget, but also we make like this perfect world utopia business plan. Let's pretend the numbers aren't in here. Can we creatively fix those numbers as time goes out, or do we have to compromise some of your mission, your values? But I don't want the numbers to be the driving force that makes your mission and makes your practice. I want it to be the other direction. And it is. It's getting back to, what do you want out of your practice? Not, I have to take 10 ladies because to get reimbursed and what the other people are getting. No. Just because she's getting $3,000 for a home birth, you may be able to get $5,000 for a home birth if you meet the value and needs of the product creates that value. So let's not focus on a number right now. So it's just getting back to that basics of, what do we want out of life? What do we want out of our practices? And where do we want to be short-term and long-term? And then making the numbers work with it.
I love that you do that, Leslie. And how do you want to feel? Like, it is. So yes, obviously we need a certain amount of money to survive, but how do you want to feel? Isn't that more important? How do you want to feel in your business? Look, I had to make it my goal I wanted to feel peace. I wanted to be able to see clients and be peaceful. And because my clients need that from me, they don't need me stressed out, freaking out all the time. Right. So I had to make
you're the beacon of light. That'd be the last thing we need. We're already needed help and accountability. Like, that's, I mean, you know that you have to be, and I think as midwives, we forget that
we're preaching,
eat well, exercise, sleep. And then we've got bags under our eyes. We're drinking coffee that we haven't had any water today. Like, people see that. Like, if you're not being that beacon of strength for people to look at, they know.
I mean, it's the same with the midwife. You have to take care of yourself. Like, it would be absolutely, and it's scary. You know, some of the signs of burnout, you know, it could be feeling anxious, feeling depressed, having like a kind of like that OCD feeling, questioning yourself or forgetting things. Like, you can't, that's not what, you know, you can't do your job and be in that. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Yeah. And I think it is. It's so important. Like, those early signs, if you can list some of the early signs of burnout, because there may be people like, I didn't know I was in burnout till I almost went off the deep end. Like, I was like, I'm tough. I'll truck through it. It'll get better in 3 months. It'll get better in 6 months with my practice. And it was surviving today to day, looking at things getting better in the future. Well, guess what? It didn't get better in the future. It got worse. And I don't want midwives to go down that path. I want us to have lots of birth practices. I want us to have sustaining, happy midwifery balances of work and life relationship. And so, if you have some early signs of burnout that friends and family, or even just self-recognition to say, okay, I need to step back. I need to change things a little bit. I'm starting to go down this path.
So you're asking me about the early signs?
Yeah. If you have any specific ones.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it would be something like feeling like you can't turn it off, you know, constantly, like you're constantly going. And look at what, you know, with social media, with technology, we can feel that way if we're feeling like we're constantly attacked attached to it. There's so many good things that come out of technology, obviously, but I think that's made burnout also higher because we're constantly attached to it. So feeling like kind of obsessive, like almost like you have to check your phone or you have to, or maybe you're questioning yourself, those feelings of, you know, depression, the feeling of anxiety more, you know, if you're feeling it more than you normally would, those are all signs of definitely signs of burnout, but definitely that feeling kind of like that wired and tired feeling as well.
Yeah. I know Madeline Murray and I, she's an amazing certified professional midwife that has believe in midwifery. We talk about it often because her mission is burnout and preventing it and sustaining midwifery, just like mine, and call schedules, like having a solo practice, you still have to take vacations. You still have to go to personal obligations. You still have to separate and have, whether you're going to do it with a partnership within your practice, or you're going to have a good, another practice to share call coverage. Because if you are on call 24/7 for a whole year, you're going to burn out. It's a matter of time. You are human. Your adrenal fatigue is going to set in. So that's a huge push that Madeline and I talk about often, is that shared call schedule, even if it's not directly your own practice, but having a sister practice you can support with is vital.
Yeah, I think so. Like, it kind of brings us back to that definition of success. Mm-hmm. What is your definition of success? So is it, you know, making a certain amount of money, or is it being able to have a sustainable business that you want to, that you don't want to retire from? Like, wouldn't, how amazing is that? Like, a business that you're not, you don't even want to retire because you love it. And also having, being able to have a personal life. Is that your idea of success? That's more my idea of success. Being able to be a good wife, you know, being able to be a good, I don't have children, but being able to be a good aunt or a good sister. That's all part of my ideas of success. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think those are great tips. And if there's anything you could go in the direction of, like, resources or tools, if midwives, especially with busy schedule, I love audiobooks. I love stuff that's easy. If we get some downtime, maybe we're at a birth and she's doing her thing in the tub. Like, I want midwives, because I think a lot of it is that priority of that illusion. We only have so much time, but it's always prioritizing. Instead of choosing this app to look at right now and play a game, let's choose to do a few minutes of this audiobook and learn about some resources to help out. So.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love podcasts and audiobooks and all that stuff. So let's think here, you know, and I was just listening to something today about if you have an app where you're playing a game or something, make it a mental health app, you know, the Headspace app, or I just found another one today where it's a breathing app where it goes in and out when you breathe. I'm trying to think of some other resources, any kind of self-help. I love, you know, Gabby Bernstein. I love any kind of self-help that just helps us kind of realign and to ourself, to our bigger purpose here.
Yeah, I think anything with professional personal development, I don't think there's very specific topics, but just getting yourself in that mindset that we are truly continuous learners, not just in our own specific profession, but as human beings, learning more about psychology, negotiating, communicating, it's going to make you a better partner in life and personal. I mean, I have found the phenomenon of, I used to forever, I mean, because we're taught from being little, you go to school, you graduate, you get your degree, and you only have to learn about the stuff that they forced you to learn about. And I've shifted the last 3 years where I'm constantly listening to audiobooks. I'm constantly intriguing my brain because it creates this level of creativity. It opens so many doors of possibilities because you have these little nuggets in your mind that you wouldn't have had before. So it's tipping that skill. Just like when you start exercising, it's like, okay, I can't do this, I can't do it. But once you start doing it, you start craving the salads, you start craving that morning high you get from exercising, but you have to start just doing little baby steps.
Yes. I mean, it's hard to make specific recommendations because I feel like it's so personal. It's like somebody who inspires you, like, listen to that. Marianne Williamson was my huge, I used to listen to her all the time. She had these Monday nights talks and she's got, you can, you know, find her everywhere. And I used to teach this counseling class at a university, and I would listen to her the whole way. And it would be so inspiring. It would open my mind, you know, to a new possibility, to these new possibilities that there were for me in this world. And anything that you can listen to that opens your mind like that is, and I feel like it's a personal thing. It's whoever inspires you, but you can find that for sure today. There's all over the place.
Well, and I found even when, like you had recommended, because my mind was so pessimistic, it still has its moments, but I still challenge it versus just that complaining and don't do anything versus, okay, this is the challenge happening. I'm going to do something about it. So shifting your mind from pessimism to optimism, the abundance journal, when you had me do like the drills of, okay, the next 3 days, I want you to write 100 positive things you're grateful for. You're like, I'm grateful I have the oxygen. I'm grateful I have my electricity. Like when you start shifting your mind of these little things we take for granted, you start being more appreciative of our health and our time and our support system and where you live and things we just don't realize that we're very fortunate to have. So I think that's something simple of if you're starting to feel down that negative rabbit hole, do 5 minute just time of writing down things right around you right now you're grateful for, because there's always two ways to look at something.
Yes. So everybody says, oh, I do gratitude. No, do it. Like actually do it. Like write it down. Feel it. Really find the things that you're grateful for. So you just reminded me of something. There's a book called Learned Optimism, and it's really good by Martin Seligman. He's a really famous psychologist in the field of positive psychology. And so it's all, honestly, everything he talks about is research-based. And there's been a study that it's called Three Good Things. So at the end of the day, you talk about, so you know how when you go to bed at night, this tends to be the time our mind is free and remembers all the things that went wrong today or things maybe you shouldn't have said or should have done differently. So we want to change that. And it's called Three Good Things. So you would just talk about or write down three things that went right today and why. And it's a great act. It's great to do with like a spouse or somebody else. To go to bed at night, remembering the three things that went right today and why. It's such a mindset shift.
Well, there's so much power to that. You're making me go down the direction because our brain at sleep and dreaming, we're processing and putting things in long-term. Mm-hmm. The emotions around fear and negativity have a deeper emotional memory to them, the positive things. We don't remember, if we don't consciously make an effort to strengthen those wirings in our mind, you're not going to make them long-term memories. The last 3 years, you may have accomplished amazing things, but you're not going to remember them as well as the negative things. So I love that perspective of at nighttime, because that's the time you're taking your daily uptake, your computer, and just putting it in your brain. That I love that idea.
Right. What if you accomplished all these amazing things the last 3 years and you don't even realize it because you're just thinking about what else you want to accomplish or what you haven't accomplished and you're not even appreciating all this stuff? I mean, that happens.
Well, and especially in today's society, we're future, we're go, go, go. We're not so much in the present very well. And I think I found the fascination with mental health of depression, anxiety, a lot of these mental health conditions, it has to do with your orientation. If you're more futuristic, you tend to be more anxious because of these uncertainties, unknowns. If training myself to do meditation and be more present in the moment has naturally decreased my anxiety because you're not thinking about the unknown future. You're like, this is in front of me. This I can see, this I can handle. There's no uncertainty right now. So it's a very powerful tool to shift your mind from thinking, okay, if you're a person that always worries about the past and your brain's not actually living in the moment, you get more depression. Like I see this amazing paradigm shift of the mental health perspective.
Yeah, we love this stuff. You know, something that helped me a lot, and this is all about mindfulness, and I know, Leslie, you could relate to this too, is gardening. I mean, when I was going through that burnout a while back, I decided to start, and I never thought I could do plant a garden. I never thought I had a green thumb, and man, I really got into it. And that's something, doing something like that, you're in the moment. And I tell you right now, especially we need this because of the uncertainty that's in the world. If we sit and think about everything that's going on and everything that could possibly happen in the future, our brain cannot handle all of that. That's overwhelming. So we can always handle what's happening in the present moment, right? So it doesn't mean you don't prepare for the future. Obviously you do, but you don't want to stay there because it's too much. It's too overwhelming. It's too traumatic. So something like planting a garden, something that you can do that brings you to this moment, going for a walk, exercising. It doesn't always have to be, you know, sitting on a chair on the floor, meditating in the lotus position.
Well, and I think the power of nature is you see these animals and you start, I think I start personally realizing how amazing our world is. And oh my goodness, this bunny in my backyard is every day worrying about something eating it. Like, it's a very different perspective of how grateful we are to be human beings. And just the power of nature and like what are the plants, like watching things grow and fighting to survive. And it gives me inspiration. It gives me like, oh my goodness, this little tiny seed grows into this massive tree, or the food that supports my family. It's coming from these little tiny things that have so much power inside them. And so I'm like, okay, I'm a little baby seed. I need to grow into this big tree right now and transform. And so we can do that. We all can if we inspire ourselves. So yes, I appreciate you so much giving suggestions. Is there anything else you can think of that'd be helpful for birth workers and just these crazy times to help inspire them to look at a brighter, better future we can give our communities?
You know, I don't know if we have time. I have a little activity that we can do.
Perfect. Like
a visualization.
I'd love to. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So I got this from actually a book by Peter Levine, and it's a trauma book. And I'll message you the name of the book. Cause right now I'm not remembering it. But this is not something I suggest anybody, this is a visualization, this is pretend. So it's not anything I suggest going out and actually doing what I'm going to talk about, but it's about healthy aggression. And it's so interesting how, you know, I was raised to think aggression was bad, but you know, but I feel like this applies to burnout because we need healthy aggression. And I feel like, especially as women, there's, you know, it's like we're unbalanced in that way. We can be. So instead of, I feel like this, so, okay, so we'll just try, we're just going to start this activity. So like I said, it's just for time. I'm not saying that you should do this out in nature or anything. So go ahead and close your eyes. And I'm going to have you imagine yourself, just take a few deep breaths to relax. And I want you to imagine yourself walking down a path, a nature path. It's a beautiful day. Everything's beautiful outside. You can see all the green. You can see all the colors in nature. You hear all the sounds. You see all the textures. And suddenly, you come up to a crossing and you see a wild dog. And the dog is, and you're scared. And the dog is staring you down. And for a minute, you're scared, and then you decide that you are going to stick your ground. You decide that you are going to stay there. So you are completely present in your body. You feel yourself completely present in your body, and you are not afraid anymore. And you look that dog in the eye, and you stare it down. And notice how you feel in your body. You feel completely present and completely aware of what's going on. And completely calm, and you know what you're doing. And the dog backs away. And just notice how that feels, that feeling in your body. And you can feel that feeling anytime you want. Okay, go ahead and open your eyes.
I was like, my heart
really
was
about
relaxed,
getting,
and then it was starting to get crazy. I'm like, I picture you having like a YouTube like meditation channel. You do such a good job at it.
I mean, and really when you think about that, it's about not backing down, you know, like being calm and going forward, standing your ground, protecting what you've created. I think that's so important for midwives. I don't want them to give up. I want them to keep going, you know, because I really believe in what they're doing too. So, you know, when you feel threatened and whether that's burnout, whether that's your business, whatever that is, imagine that stance, you know, stand your ground, be in your body. You can do this.
Yeah. And having confidence in your skills and your knowledge and your experience, because we are a minority in today's maternity system, but that doesn't mean we're not, quote unquote, a better option for normal, healthy women. Worldwide, midwives are the mainstream. And so we live in a unique society. And if you don't know other cultures, you don't know the bigger picture, you sometimes feel discouraged because you're like, well, this is the way it is. And I'm like, no, it's just the way it is here. And we can change it. Like there's opportunities present. So.
I agree. Cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. I appreciate you being on with me today, and definitely talk about your website, how people can get a hold of you, the services you offer.
Yeah, so I do offer life coaching. My website is yourhighestlight.com, and you can always email me elizabeth@yourhighestlight.com. It's elizabeth@yourhighestlight.com. I'm on YouTube too, elizabeth_yourhighestlight. So we'll put my contact that below as well so you can see my channel. But it was so nice talking to you, Leslie, and you're an inspiration.
Oh, thank you. I feel that way about you too all the time. So thank you very much.
Thank you.